Well, Ireland has its first medal at the Olympics, and it's all thanks to the brilliant Mona McSharry. The 23-year-old from Sligo came third in the 100 metres breaststroke last night in a time of 1:05.59. She took her rightful place on the podium alongside China in second place and South Africa in first, as the three flags were raised behind them. Minutes later, Mona spoke to RTE's Paul O'Flynn.
It's been a lot of hard work, and I think there's always been a little bit of doubt, you know, do I really belong at the top? And, you know, this proves it. I raced my heart out, and to be on, you know, the right side and, you know, of a really tight race is just unbelievable.
Tell me about the race, if you can remember it. You went out so hard, you were second at the turn and then that comeback at the end, 1/100th of a second.
Yeah, the most important takeaway for everyone watching is that was not a perfect race. I dove in and, you know, my goggle filled up with water and I was like, crap, but we're going to keep going. And I pushed to the end and I knew I could see the Chinese girl on the other side of me. I didn't really know what was going on this side. And I was like, I've got to push. I've really got to dig deep. And I'm so proud of myself and all the people that have supported me just to be able to come out with this performance.
For everyone back home in Sligo, for everyone here supporting you, your parents, the sacrifices they've made over the years, your own sacrifices, it must be all worth it now.
Yeah. I think, honestly, regardless of the result, just even being able to compete at this level and, like, confidently be in with a chance of, you know, medaling and then actually medaling is just, it's what sport is about, those really tight races and just having fun. And sometimes it's hard because you're so nervous to really have fun, but I mean, that's the most important part, and just soaking up these moments.
You've always spoken about being an inspiration to young girls in particular. How better way to do that than to come home with an Olympic bronze medal around your neck?
I know. I mean, I was a little girl from a tiny little village, and I still am that little girl from Sligo, and I was able to win a medal at the Olympics, so it just goes to show that you can do anything you put your mind to.
You're on top of the world now.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Mona.
Thank you.
Well done. Never take it off.
Mona McSharry, bronze medalist at the Olympic Games, talking there to Paul O'Flynn. Mona with the tears streaming down her face during that interview. Well, we're delighted to welcome Mona's mother, Viola, to the programme. Viola, you're very welcome to Morning Ireland. How does it feel to have an Olympic winning daughter?
I don't think that sank in, but listening back to the interview that you just played there, it's nearly tears coming back to my eyes. It was just such a fantastic moment for all of us. And to be there for it, it's really something else.
How were you during the race? Was it the longest minute and 5 seconds of your life?
No, it's very weird because I wouldn't be able to tell you anything about the race now. It goes by so quick and you're just so focused on herself. You don't really see what the other swimmers are doing, and you're waiting for the moment when the board comes up with the official result at the end. And that was just such a relief, such a joy. It was really amazing.
Were you able to watch the race, Viola? Were you able to follow it the whole way?
Oh, yeah. We were watching it the whole way, but it's like something that happens in slow motion beside you. It's a weird feeling. It's hard to describe.
Yeah, I can imagine. And we heard Mona talking to Damien in the first hour when she said, you know, she was waiting for the light to come on at the edge of the pool, and she eventually saw the three dots. She knew she'd won the medal. Oh my goodness!
If you look back at the scoreboard and see how tight it was just, I mean, it could have gone any way for the girls that were swimming there. It was just absolutely fantastic that she got there in third position.
Absolutely. I mean, she could have got second. She could have got nothing. There was 0.3 seconds yeah, splitting the first yeah, four home. It's extraordinary.
And I mean, she was very often on the other side where she was number four, like, you know, and it's a bad place to be, even though you're in a final, like, you know. But she's done it this time, and we're so proud of her.
Yeah, we saw you embracing your loved ones as she took that third place. What did you say to her when you finally got your arms around her?
That was Grace. That was Mona's home coach from, when we were talking to Mona.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we said nothing. We just gave it a hug, a big old family squeeze hug.
Brilliant. Oh, the pride you must feel is immense.
Yeah, no, it's really something special.
Because, I mean, it's a huge moment for Mona, obviously, but she must be aware that the country was glued to our tellies last night. We all share her success and we all bask in her glory.
I hope she drowned that out until tomorrow, this morning, or even last night after the race. And just thought, yeah, no, I think she kind of realizes how supportive people are in Ireland, like, you know, and they're all rooting. The amount of messages that are coming in is just unreal. Like, the Irish people are really, really good at supporting their own. And that was last night, we felt that.
Yeah. When she had her wobble a few years ago, Viola, did you worry that she would leave? Or did you, knowing your daughter as you do, did you think she'd see it through?
No, look, it was a hard time, and it wasn't up to us to tell her what to do. If she would have said to us back then, look, that's it, I'm finished, I really don't want to do it anymore, then that would have been fine with us. Like, it's not that we're pushing her on. We just want her to be happy at what she is doing. And if you're not happy at the sport you're doing, the job you're doing, then it's not worth it. So we said, look, you'll have to decide that yourself. Like, you know, we support you either way. And of course, we're all delighted now that she just stuck it out, put down the head and started working again.
Absolutely.
And ended up with a medal.
Yeah, because it's as much a psychological battle as it is a physical battle. That psychological strength is maybe even more important sometimes than the physical strength.
I'd say, I mean, she's in top physical shape, I would say. But yeah, if the mind is not there with you when you stand up on the block, or if you're lining up behind the block, there's nothing you can do, you know. It's just everything has to be going hand in hand on the day.
Can you give us an insight into what is involved from your end to make what happened last night in France happen?
We just supported her in whatever she was doing. We just brought her, when she was younger, of course, we brought her to the training session, you know, try that food is up to standard. And sorry, we're just getting back on another.
You're on the metro, aren't you?
We're on the metro. We're going over to the boxing now to support the other Irish.
Ah, brilliant, brilliant. So, yeah, but a lot of sacrifices, though, Viola. Isn't that the case in all sport at this level? I mean, you have to make the sacrifices early on to get to this level.
Not sure what I would call them sacrifices. It's just something you do to support. Like, you know, we wouldn't see it as a sacrifice. Like, you know, it's just something you just take it day by day and do the best to support the athlete and just be there for them. You know, and whatever we can do, whatever small little things we can do, we're happy to do.
That's it. Well, you just do what you have to do. How will she approach the 200 metres?
I think she's going to be much more relaxed now that she has this out of the way and she can enjoy it. She had a fantastic swim there in Canada last month, and that gave her a huge boost of confidence, so she can just go out and enjoy that, I think.
And you can enjoy it a bit more too, maybe.
Maybe, yes. We enjoyed last night, don't get me wrong.
Oh my goodness, I know, I can imagine. I was so nervous watching, I couldn't imagine what it must have been like for you all watching her there poolside. Look, she's absolute. Yeah. She's an absolute star, and we're all so proud of her, and thank you so much. Congratulations to the whole McSharry family, because it is a team effort, and congratulations to Mona in particular. Viola, thanks a million for talking to us this morning.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Viola McSharry, an Olympic winning mammy and Ireland's fittest mammy, actually, because the McSharry family took part and won Ireland's Fittest Family on RTE in 2019. So huge kudos to them. Let's look ahead to today at the Olympics with Damien O'Mara, who's in Paris. But Damien, before we move on, let's just talk about Mona for a little bit longer. You've been talking to her childhood coach.
Yeah, picture the scene, the La Défense Arena in Nanterre, where the swimming is on. It's a 30,000 capacity venue, and at the end of the session, everyone just pours out of the place, and we could hear people singing, Mona, Mona. So you gravitate towards them. And had I been involved in the story of an Olympic champion or an Olympic medal winner, I'd be screaming it from the rooftops. And in the middle of this group, very modestly, when we asked them, are any of you family members or any of your relatives, a guy says, no, but that's her childhood coach. So the grace that was referred to there by Di Viola is Grace Mead from Ballyshannon Marlins Swimming Club in Donegal. She first met Mona when she was 10 years of age, and she has played a key role in helping her become the swimmer that she has become. And she was so modest last night, but it was such a surreal experience for her, as with so many others, to see this little girl they once knew and, you know, a young woman in her 20s now become an Olympic medalist.
It's an indescribable feeling, to be honest. I cannot believe it, but I'm so, so happy for Mona. She's so deserved. She worked so hard for this. She's had many years of ups and downs, but oh my God, she so deserved it.
It's a triumph for perseverance as much as it is a triumph for what is obviously a great talent and a great work ethic.
It is, absolutely. You know, it's tough at the top. It really is tough at that level, should I say. And it's when you have the down days, it's being able to pick yourself up and go again. And there have been many days like that, and she's just done it. It's amazing.
The agony of waiting for the result to pop up on the screen and how the medal place has changed so much. You must have had your heart in your mouth, did you?
Oh, unbelievable. It was so tight. I mean, there was 1/100 of a second between three of them, and it could have been any of the girls there. You know, it's tough on those that came fourth and fifth. But hey, Mona got her hand on the wall, and that's all we can ask.
That's Grace Mead, their childhood coach, to Mona McSharry. We've high hopes today again in the pool, Damien.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly we move on, isn't it? So 8:02 this evening. It's important, I keep saying, to have realistic expectation. But when you look at Daniel Whiffen and what Whiffen has done in recent times, it is inconceivable that we will not have a second swimming medal by the end of the evening. And you would have to suggest he is the favourite in the race for gold. He won his heat to qualify for the final as the fastest qualifier, 7:41.53. It's over half a second off his winning time at the Worlds earlier this year, so he is certainly a man who's got plenty left in the tank. Let's hear a view in advance of the race. Former European bronze medalist Barry Murphy is one of the guests on the RTE Olympics podcast, which is available on all podcast platforms, and he's been looking ahead to the race and certainly sharing the optimism in Whiffen's chances of medalling.
A lot of it probably slipped under the radar of how close he was to the Olympic record, so I think 0.3 off it. And I was following the splits kind of as the swim was progressing. And yeah, he was kind of on the gas for maybe the first 600 metres. And then the last 200 metres, he completely stepped off the gas. There were, you know, he didn't bring his legs into it. He just shut it down. And then to be first into the final is, again, a great swim. Listen to his interview after it. It was just a matter of fact. Like, why was anyone worried about this? Like, it was just going to happen. I said I was going to do it, and I'm doing it. So just like, yeah, get your popcorn and get ready. You know, it's the Olympic final, and Daniel has his own way tomorrow. Amazing. But, you know, I think if some of these lads will probably try and test him. What I would say is that if he's able to, rather than shutting down on the back half, if he's able to kind of take that out first, 500-600 out the same, and then build through that 800, it's no reason why he's not touching first. Yeah. So yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I can't believe we're talking in those terms of Irish swimming, but it's just such a huge thing and like such an awesome progress that we've made over the last while, and these athletes have really put us on the map, and I'm so proud of them. They're just incredible. I can't speak highly enough of the whole team over there.
It's just fantastic. That's European bronze medalist Barry Murphy talking there about Daniel Whiffen's chances tonight in the men's 800 metre freestyle. That will be taking place at 8:02 tonight in Paris. Who else should we be looking out for today, Damien?
Yeah, it's a busy day. I should mention the Olympics podcast is available daily. It's the number one podcast on the podcasting charts at the moment. Robert Dixon, Sean Waddilove going really strong in the men's skiff. Races 7, 8 and 9 today. They're second overall. There's 12 races. The top boats then advance to the medal race. There's plenty of excitement building around them down in Marseille. In terms of rowing, we've three crews on the water today. Zoe Hyde and Alison Bergen in the women's double sculls semi-final at 10:50. But one of the crews, obviously, you know, O'Donovan and McCarthy dominate so much focus, but Philip Doyle and Dara Lynch in the men's double sculls, they go in the second of the semi-finals there. There's a lot of talk and expectation building around them. Jenny Lehan gets her campaign underway in boxing. We've Ireland in action against India. They've such a tough group in hockey. By the end of today, they will have played the gold, silver and bronze medalists from Tokyo. Abigail Lyle goes in individual dressage Grand Prix qualifying. We've Michaela Corcoran and Noel Hendrick going in the canoe slalom. The women's sevens in the fifth and eighth place playoffs. And Rachel Darrow will get her Olympics underway in badminton. So a very, very busy day for Team Ireland.
No triathlon today, though.
Yeah, and this is going to be a very, very big story here. Training had been cancelled on Sunday and Monday. We've talked about it over the course of the build-up to the Games. €1.4 billion paid to work on a new wastewater and filtration system for the River Seine to make it swimmable. Anyone who watched the opening ceremony will have seen the deluge of rain that fell. The E. coli rates went through the roof as a result of that. The water has been tested repeatedly. It hasn't met World Triathlon standards. The race was to get underway at 8 o'clock this morning, French time, so they should be 90 minutes into it at this stage. The decision was made at 3 o'clock this morning to pull the race, to try and postpone it until tomorrow. It's going to take place after the women's triathlon tomorrow, and Friday is now the contingency day should both races go ahead. But the problem that the organisers have, as you can understand, is they have used existing venues for the most part. One of the big outlays was this filtration system to, you know, transform the Seine, to use it for the marathon race events, to use it for the triathlon. €1.4 billion, and Parisians and French people are waking up this morning to discover that the event it was being marked towards is now not going to go ahead because of heavy rain in the preceding days. So that is going to be quite the scandal in Paris today, one would think.
Damien, thank you very much indeed. Damien O'Mara, who's covering all the Olympics for us in Paris. All eyes on Daniel Whiffen tonight.